of sandwiches.
But that also comes with chewing the budget presentation tonight.
No.
You ready?
Do we have the computer?
Okay. It's 5:32, and I call the regular board meeting of June 6, 2017 to order. Dr. Mitchell, can we have roll call?
Yes, Angelina Pride.
Present.
David Malkin.
Present.
Donna Friedman.
Here.
Carrie Chen.
Here.
Lynn Ebenkamp.
Here.
All board members are present.
Are there any changes or pulled items from the agenda today? I have three down for Mrs. Pride.
Yes, I'd like to pull from the consent calendar B16, B17, and B18. I'm sorry, I don't have my glasses on.
That's correct.
It's okay. We got the number.
We got them right.
Okay.
Any others? Can I have a motion to adopt the agenda of the regular board meeting Tuesday, June 6, 2017, with the following corrections, modifications? Consent calendar items pulled for discussion include 9B16, 9B17, and 9B18. I have a second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The next item is 1E. For designation of agency negotiators for unrepresented employees, Superintendent, may I have a motion to designate and identify Anthony P.
I just want to know for the record about public comments.
Sorry, I skipped it. You're right. Okay. Never mind. Are there any public comments on agenda items or written requests to address the board?
None have been received.
Okay. Now, may I have a motion to designate and identify Anthony P. DeMarco, Partner Atkinson, Andelson, Loya, Rood, and Romo as its designated negotiator and representative regarding the salary schedule, and or fringe benefits of the superintendent. Can I have a motion? I move. Can I have a second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. It's 5:35 and we're now adjourned to closed session. Recess to closed session, sorry.
Anything confidential?
It's in and out.
Any confidential?
I don't think so.
Lynn, would you like your telephone in there with you?
Okay.
And I am not Kate. I'm not speaking.
Test, test. How does this sound? Test, test. Yeah, sounds fine to me. Test, test. Test, test. They said it sounded tinny, but it doesn't sound. Test, test. Test, test.
Test, test.
Test, test. Is it tinny if I go close, or is it too high or too low? Or how's that when I'm further away? Well, I know, but does it sound tinny at all? I swap it with an analog and see what happens. I think they're in my office.
Test, test. Test, test.
This is a shorter stand. Testing, testing. Testing, 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 testing. It does, man. We'll leave this one in. Maybe we should use it interchangeable on the stands. Actually, yeah, let's just take it off. It's the same size or different? Just. All right. Testing, yeah.
I'm sure you can point it. I'm sure you can point it down a little bit like this. Yeah. Test, test. Yeah, I think this sound okay. Yeah. That sounds fine. Okay. Maybe we'll just use this one.
It's 7:10 and we return to open session. Please excuse us for being late and that our closed session ran over a little bit tonight, but we've been doing a lot better lately. First of all, I'd like to call a special student up to the podium to lead us in the flag salute, Joseph Min Sung. And Joseph is from Shallon Elementary. And it's Joseph's birthday. After the pledge, we'll sing happy birthday to Joseph.
Test.
There we go. It's all you, buddy. Happy birthday.
Put your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands one nation.
Thank you, Joseph. Nice job. For those of you who don't get to attend very often, each month we have a school that we spotlight, and tonight it is Shallon Elementary. So you'll hear from them again as we move along. We have nothing to report out from closed session, but we will be returning to closed session at the end of our regular business. Okay. Let's see here. I'm kind of lost track. Sorry. Okay, now our special board recognitions tonight. Ms. Healy, would you please take over?
Good evening. It's we're live tonight. good evening. It's my pleasure to recognize a whole group of people for very different things tonight. One of our goals in our LCAP and as our district direction and focus is to recognize and celebrate our accomplishments. And so every board meeting we get an opportunity to do that. Did we have a special seat for somebody? Okay. Well, our first group of students are our perfect attendance students. And these are students who have attained perfect attendance, and we have three groups of them. So I think that's pretty impressive that there's any group, but there's three groups. Our first group are our students who have perfect attendance, kindergarten through grade six, so their first 7 years of school. And our first student from Blandford is Samantha Leong. Okay, our next student from Jellick, Cassandra Torres. Stay here. Our next student from Shellen, who I think we've already heard from today, Joseph Min Sung. And these are our K-6 perfect attendance students. Yes, and our resident tweeter. Our next group of students have perfect attendance from kindergarten through eighth grade. So those, the three of you, did you hear that? There's a next award if you stay through eighth grade, just saying. So kindergarten through eighth grade, and these students are all happen to be from Alvarado this year. Yes, our first student is Timothy Chu. Okay, so much for that award. Yes. And I realize school is out, but we had to wait till, you know, the last day of school to, you know, see if they were perfect. Our next student is Melissa Munn. Okay, I am striking out here. This is so not good. Okay, we have one more. Maybe I can win. And next, our third student is Narissa Vargas. Okay, oh, man. Okay. Okay, so my K-6 friends, listen better, because this one is for K-12 perfect attendance. They have never missed a day of school in 13 years. I think that's pretty impressive. Yes, like they just, yeah. So I'm letting that sink in for just a moment. So K-12, and these students are both from Roland High School. Our first student is Aaron Nguyen. And our next student is Wendy Zhang. Okay. Jess, I know, an Alvarado student too. Okay. Congratulations to all of our perfect attendance students. Very proud of your work. Next, we get to recognize one of our employees. And if we can have Ms. Sylvia Cadena come forward, please. And if we could have Ms. Sylvia Rivas, our Director of Special Projects, come forward as well. It's with great pleasure and appreciation to announce that Sylvia Cadena, who is our principal at Yorbita Elementary School, was selected by the Roland Unified School District to be recognized by the Los Angeles Bilingual Directors Association as an outstanding administrator. The Roland Unified School District is grateful to Mrs. Cadena for the dedication, hard work, and commitment she demonstrates to improve educational services and advance the rights of English learners in our district. Mrs. Cadena was presented with an Outstanding Administrator Award at the Los Angeles County Bilingual Directors Association 41st Annual Recognition and Scholarship Banquet, which was held on March 29th. Thank you so much, Mrs. Cadena, for representing us and doing great work for our students. Congratulations, Mrs. Cadena. So a few months ago, we had the opportunity to recognize many of our winter sports for their success, and so now it's our opportunity to represent or recognize many of our spring sports because those seasons have ended as well. So if I could recognize the Roland High School girls swim team. I don't know if Mr. Brunier is here or Mr. Whitley. Mr. Whitley, come on up. Come on up. They're swimming up. Okay, Mr. Whitley, you got to come up. And if I could have Coach Michael Cody and Ian LaGuardia come on up as well. You guys are used to end up being in a lane. You can come on up there. Yes. So our Roland High girls swim team had an outstanding season this year. Their undefeated 7-0 winning season enabled them to clinch the Valley Vista League swimming title for the third year in a row and culminated with them advancing to the 2017 Division IV CIF Swimming Championships, where they became the CIF runner-up. And you can see the really cool trophy right there, the plaque right there. Sophomore Caitlin Nguyen won two individual titles in the 200 individual medley and the 100-yard breaststroke. She joined Megan Gear, Melinda Wang, and Megan Chang to win the 4x50 freestyle relay title, setting a new CIF 4 division meet record. Caitlin Nguyen, Melinda Wang, Megan Gear, and Rachel Song won the 4x100-yard freestyle relay. Caitlin has won 7 CIF titles in 2 years and is a 2-time CIF swimming state swimming qualifier. Please join me in congratulating the Roland High School girls swim team and their coaches on their outstanding season. The members... The members of our team include Michelle Chu, Megan Gear, Elaine Morgan, Caitlin Nguyen, Angie Nadia, Rachel Song, Nicole Tan, Shirley Wang, and Megan Chang. Congratulations, ladies. There's a lot of paparazzi out there. That's pretty cool. They are very popular. Mm-hmm. It's even better. Congratulations to our girls swim team from Roland High School. Not to be outdone, could I have the boys swim team from Roland High School? Turn around, Mr. Whitley. You have to come back up. And they have a very shiny plaque as well, if you just want to notice that as they come up. This year, the Roland High School boys swim team had an amazing 7-0 winning season as well. They won their Valley Vista swim title and went on to clinch the 2014 Division IV CIF swim title. So there's that very shiny gold plaque right there. You can wave that for us. Thank you. Please join me in congratulating the Roland High School boys swim team and their coaches on their outstanding season. Our team consists of Justin Bond, Kelvin Cao, Victor Leung, Jose Lopez, Matthew Lee, Jason Koo, William Koo, Paul Kim, Alvin Chang, Sorry, I was trying to practice and it didn't work. Now I'm all messed up. Ohaka Mong, Michael Ye, and Anthony Lamb. Congratulations to our Roland High Boys swim team. Some more Mama Parazzi, is that what we call them now? As long as Mrs. Kim got her shot, we're all good. Bless you. Congratulations to our Roland Swing team. Mr. Whitley, please stay up here. Don't go anywhere. You just stay right here. Next, I have the opportunity to recognize our Roland High School boys and girls track team. If we could have the members of the team come forward. This could be a really fast little... Do we have representatives from our track team? Track? Anybody track? You hold those up there, buddy. Well, I will read about them anyway. How about that? Tonight, we will recognize athletes from the Roland High School boys and girls track and field teams. This year, the freshman and sophomore team completed its third consecutive undefeated league championship in May. The boys' varsity track and field team completed its second consecutive undefeated Valley Vista League championship. With over 200 students, the 2017 Roland track and field team was by far the biggest in the school's history. Roland students overcame adversity all season to attain their second consecutive Valley Vista League title. At league finals, Roland track and field sent 17 students to the CIF championship preliminary round. Although no students advanced to the finals, all performed admirably and placed in the top three of their event. Please join me in congratulating the Roland High School boys and girls track and field team and their coaches on an outstanding season. Congratulations, Mr. Whitley. All right, if I could have Mr. Despard from Oswalt please come forward. And if we could have Dr. Lisa Buckmeyer from Oswalt as well come forward and bring her students. Oh. Ms. Buckmeyer, do you want to bring your students up too? So like, come on up. And they even have spiffy STEM shirts too. Very cool. The Los Angeles County Office of Education's Math Field Day is designed as an enrichment activity to promote mathematical reasoning, teamwork, and a balanced mathematics curriculum that focuses on the California Common Core standards for mathematics for all students in upper elementary and middle school. Participation allows students to demonstrate their math knowledge through competition in the following events: computational and procedural skill, conceptual understanding, and problem solving. It is open to four-person teams with one team per grade level representing their district. This year, Oswalt Academy STEM Club members Eric Mong, Catherine No, Bradley Kwan, and Luciano Lim won a gold medal in problem solving at this year's Math Field Day. Congratulations to this outstanding eighth grade team for representing the Roland Unified School District. You have to get the official portrait as well. Congratulations to Oswald. Is Mr. Schmidt in the audience? Oh, he's right. There he goes. That's why I can't find him. He's right behind me. Come on up, sir. If we can have Mr. Silva come up from Telesis and bring up his students. On April 19th, the Telesis Botball team brought their robots to the Greater Los Angeles Botball Regional Tournament at Providence High School in Burbank, California. They faced off against other junior high schools, science academies, and even high schools. The students used science, engineering, technology, math, and writing skills to design, build, and program the Telesis bots to victory. The months of hard work paid off when the Titans earned an overall fourth place, missing third place literally by five thousandths. Of a point, not 5,000, a little bit. In addition, the Mighty Titans also took home third place in the double elimination head-to-head competition. Lastly, botball coach Mr. Silva and the 12 botballers won the Judges' Choice Award for position and accuracy. The team learned a great deal, took excellent notes, and are already thinking and planning on how to dominate the competition next year. Way to go, Titans. The members of our Telesis botball team are Caitlin Cabanilla, Brent Hun, Isaiah Kim, Fernando Guzman, Jonathan Comperin, Anit Javari, Chloe Silva, Sargon Singh, Rikame Panis, Liana No, Martin Gonzalez, and Ethan Alba. Congratulations to our Telesis botball team. So it's Mom Prazi time. Yes, there are more behind you, Ms. Ward. Right. Congratulations to our Telesis botball team.
Okay, now we're going to have our Shallon Elementary Spotlight Report. Shallon Elementary teachers, Diane Ingogolia, Sharon Sidlecki, and Tammy Honda will provide a brief report highlighting Shallon Elementary School. And our principal, Sharon...
Sarah
Opakowitz. I'm sorry, Sarah.
It's all right. It's a lot of names.
Welcome.
Okay. Good evening, Roland Unified Board members, Dr. Mitchell, Cabinet members, Roland educators, and community. I'm Sarah Opakowitz, principal at Shellen Elementary, a Gold Ribbon school, and I'm delighted to be able to share with you some of the highlights and happenings at our school this past year. I'm going to reintroduce Joseph Sung, one of our sixth grade students and president of our student council. He is going to share his student perspective on the year before our teachers speak. Joseph, are you ready?
Oh, well, it's great to be here, and today I'll tell you about three highlights from my school year and experiences that make our Shellen school great. First, I'd like to talk about robotics, and the robotics can improve our STEM, and it can spark lots of imagination. For instance, we can use different Lego bricks, models, and attachments to create many different kinds of robots. Also, using programming, we can make robots follow a line. We can battle against other robots, make mazes, or even fight. And the robot rally, which is a competition for middle schoolers and elementary schoolers, after you build your robot, you can compete it, like as I said before, for line following and mazes and fighting. And you can use those skills to fight with other robots and get awards. And this is a chance for you to learn programming. And this can help you with your teamwork and competitions and competitiveness. Like, in the future, you might have Olympiads or contests. And that can actually help. And lastly, as I said before, I think robotics really helps with teamwork because you have to get into teams and we help each other, and we sometimes, like, hand each other parts and make up ideas together. And sometimes when, let's say, we make a mistake or we lose or something, we can encourage each other and help each other out. And so all in all, I think as Shellen is using robotics, I have found that it has improved our STEM, our competitiveness, our imagination, teamwork, and many other improvements. Second, I'd like to talk about our GATE program. And although most people don't care about GATE, I actually think it's important because the GATE program can actually boost knowledge with fun activities and skills. And lately, there's been a myth going on about it being really boring and only reports and projects. But that's not actually true because some projects actually just require activities and some are actually really fun. And let's say you were very gifted, but school was just too easy for you, then your teacher might choose you to take the GATE test, and if you pass, well, you're in. Yay. if you're in GATE, you can also have a chance to learn extra knowledge and skills you might need later in your life. And also it gives you a head start if you're more gifted than other kids and want to get a head start. So I think GATE is an interactive way at Shellen to give head starts to kids with talent and support them. Lastly, I'd like to discuss about the excellent teachers at Shellen, and hands down, the teachers here are excellent. And I don't know if any other teachers can beat them, actually, and the same goes for our principals and our staff. And I think that every teacher is great in a different way. I mean, some are a bit more strict, but you still learn a lot from them, and some are more easygoing, and they still teach you many skills. I think Shellen has many teachers that are nice and very knowledgeable. And all my 7 years here, I have loved every single teacher. And they are so nice, and if you get on their good side, they can be really friendly. And all in all, I think the teachers here are very knowledgeable and friendly. And I think Shellen deserved the Gold Ribbon Award, and I hope that Shellen has a good future. Thank you.
Joseph, don't leave yet. Joseph, don't leave yet. You did a fabulous job. You sounded like a public speaker.
Thank you.
You did a good job. Now, let's all sing happy birthday to Joseph. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Joseph. Happy birthday to you. Thank you, Joseph.
We're definitely going to miss Joseph next year when he moves on to Alvarado. It's funny you said he's an excellent public speaker. He was the debate champion in the district. So, all right. So with that, we have three teachers sharing with you today. We have our first being Diane Angolia, one of our kindergarten teachers.
I'm shorty, sorry. Joseph did such a great job. Joseph, who was your kindergarten teacher? You want to come read this for me? Okay. Well, welcome, everybody here. Thank you and good evening. I'm going to talk about Shellen's school-wide focus on writing. The last several years, that's been our focus. We'd like to acknowledge the help of the growing educators for training us, as well as we had some coaches, the TOSAs, supported us, increasing our school-wide implementation across the grade level. We've all been trained in three genres of writing, and all the teachers have been, trying to step their toes into the water little by little and hopefully improving each year. The genres have been narrative, personal narrative, informative, like in kindergarten we teach them to how-to books or all about books, and opinion and argumentative genres. Let's see. We are all at different varying levels of expertise. We are trying to integrate technology into our writing units, and so use programs and applications that, such as ChatterPix, Seesaw, and Telegami. So it's not just book reports, but getting the kids involved with technology. I'm sorry, I'm very nervous. I don't like doing this. If I had you guys sit down on the carpet, hold hands, I'd do a lot better. Anyway, that was my focus. And now Mrs. Galecki will talk to you about the collaboration at the California Science Center that we had at Shellen.
Thank you.
Joseph, who was your fourth grade teacher? And your sister's fourth grade teacher. Yes. Yes. Yes, that will be our claim to fame. Okay. I'm here to talk, to let you know about our highlight with our work with the California Science Center and how it's helped us to begin the transition into the new next generation science standards. This year, we were very fortunate to begin our partnership with the California Science Center. We had two full days of training, and we worked very closely with their staff, and we began to move to a more hands-on approach to science that aligned with the next generation science standards. Our lessons became more invigorating for both teachers and students. The inquiries were less teacher-directed and more of a time for students to discover and synthesize their learning. Before, I used to think, now when I think about it, I think our lessons were more, the outcomes were more teacher-directed, that there was a, that they had to have a certain outcome or we did it all wrong. But we focused on the physical science and earth and life science content strands. Teachers piloted the CSC science lessons that integrated the science and engineering processes. Fifth grade students investigated matter and its interactions, and in the process they discovered how the mixture for the perfect pancake. Kindergartners explored energy and motion with a variety of materials and ramps, while fourth graders designed and built rubber band powered cars. In addition to support our transition to the NGSS, staff were given access to mystery science inquiry units. These units got students and teachers excited about the material. Materials pushed them in their science notebooking and use of academic language. The video and hands-on approach made this learning more accessible to all learners, especially with our English language learners. Students learned firsthand about sound, erosion, volcanoes, planets, and a multitude of other units. Finally, our year was highlighted when the whole school took a field trip to the California Science Center in February. Science was truly brought to life. Upper grade students were able to visit the Pixar exhibit, learning the process of animated filmmaking from start to finish.
Primary students engage with many hands-on activities, including the ocean life pet tanks and ice wall. Students were excited to see the space shuttle Endeavor up close and personal. And that, to me, was one of the most exciting parts of the visit, to walk in and see those kids go, wow. You know, to see something that went into outer space. You know, it's not just Star Wars or Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, they saw firsthand how curiosity, wondering, and perseverance have no limits or boundaries. And we would like to take this opportunity right now to thank the Transportation Department, because that was a huge undertaking for them. And they helped bring a real special day for not just our students, our parents, and staff. That was a very memorable day, and we'd like to be sure and thank them for that. So at this time, I'd like to introduce Tammy Honda. She's our second grade teacher, and she's going to speak about our dive into Makerspace.
Good evening. Well, and I had the privilege of being Joseph's second grade teacher, as well as Eunice. Finally, I would like to highlight some of our work around makerspace activities. Several classes have been doing various makerspace activities, all of which are problem-based and involve hands-on tasks, using the engineering cycle of imagine, plan, create, improve, and ask. And we've found that this process empowers all students to have their voices heard, passive consumers of information and products to active creators and innovators. In March, we hosted a Math and Makerspace Family Night, where parents and students participated in and learned hands-on problem-based activities they could do at home to further students' thinking processes. Classes use everyday materials to engineer their solutions. They designed and built egg drop contraptions, Rube Goldberg machines, and art bots. Another part of a maker is coding. Many classes practice coding using code.org, Dash Robots with Blockly, and NXT Robots. Our fifth and sixth grade students also competed at the Cal Poly Robotics Rally at the end of May. Thank you for allowing us to spotlight Shellen.
You're welcome. Wasn't that a wonderful report from Shellen? Sometimes we don't get to see all the things the schools are doing, but that really gave us a nice glimpse. And I have one more question for Joseph. Joseph, were these really all your teachers growing up? Okay, thank you. Next, we'll move on to the superintendent's report.
Perfect, thank you. Good evening, everyone. Last week, the board and I had the pleasure of celebrating the class of 2017. 995 students walked across the stage to accept their diploma from the Roland Unified School District. They also collectively have earned over $3 million in scholarships and awards that were accepted to attend our nation's top universities and colleges. This momentous occasion was truly a team effort, with each of our outstanding employees playing a role in their success. So I'd like to thank everyone for making that happen. Moving from this traditional school year to summer school, summer learning has begun with various summer academic programs taking place throughout the district. Our district elementary summer school program, which began today, we have approximately 800 students that are participating in elementary summer programs across the district. They are hosted at four sites in our district: Hurley Elementary, Hollingworth Elementary, Roland Elementary, and Shellen Elementary. And we had, because it's a district program, many of our students were needing to take district transportation because it's a school other than their neighborhood school. And so members of our district management team and leadership team all met at different places and hopped on school buses to help escort our youngest learners to their new location, as Miriam Kim had worked very close with the transportation department, and we color-coded buses and so forth, so we knew we were on the orange bus or the blue bus or the purple bus or whatever bus we were on. So it was, again, a team effort to have our youngest learners experience this opportunity for summer programs. We also have our district three-week summer arts camp taking place at Telesis Elementary, where students in grades 1 through 8 can enjoy art, dance, music, drama, and even cooking. So the camp includes daily lunch and all supplies, so students are enjoying that as well. This summer is going to be very busy in continuing modernization of Roland High School, and so due to construction, Roland High School is holding their summer school at Alvarado Intermediate, and the administration has also been temporarily moved to the Alvarado campus. So summer programs that utilize the Roland High School gym and the Aquatic Center continue to be at Roland High School and are not impacted this summer. Lastly, I want to recognize and thank my colleagues Shay Lohman, Sharon Carrillo, and John Stalmont for joining in our effort to bring our Golden Apple Awards that took place before the start of our board meeting tonight. It really was a very nice collaborative effort for us to recognize our volunteers that serve countless hours across our district to bring services to our students. And so we were able to recognize them. We had three student MCs that helped share the stories of our many volunteers. So thank you for that collaborative effort. I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. Next, we'll go to the staff report. Mrs. Teresa Healy, Assistant Superintendent, Educational Services, will give us the local. Public comments
right.
Is late.
You're right. Sorry. I apologize.
That's okay. We'll give us the report on the Local Control Accountability Plan, the LCAP. That's okay.
I know how to clear a room. I'm just saying. there is some fascinating information here, people. Just saying.
That was his birthday party.
I think after I'm done, I'm going to join you for the cake and ice cream. Just saying. Well, I feel very welcome. Just saying. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, good evening, board, and Dr. Mitchell, and the remaining parts of our audience. It's my pleasure. Yeah, they're not even closing out. Like, there's no. I'm going to talk to Gina now. Actually, you know what? It's a board. It's a meeting of the board. It's a meeting of the board held in front of the public. So you are the only people who matter anyway, right? Isn't that how that works? I know. It's all good. My feelings are not hurt.
We're getting used to it.
Yeah. Okay. Are we up on the... Okay, good. All right. So good evening, and thank you for letting me do this presentation tonight. I'm back to share about our LCAP and our draft, and we've been up here a few different times to share about information, and tonight you have our draft. Feels weird that I can't see it. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Do you want me to wait? Okay. So as a reminder, we are required to write an LCAP. It has to represent our district's programmatic and budgetary priorities. It does need to match up with our budget, and so Mr. Flores later will be presenting on that. Our LCAP provides a framework around our 8 state priorities. We must address each of those 8 state priorities in our LCAP, and it provides a plan and a process for ensuring stakeholder input and accountability in addressing the needs of our students. As we've also shared previously, I'm sure my slide moved. These are the 8 state priorities, and as we go through the LCAP, we are required on each goal or each action to share which of the state priorities that we do meet, and we address each of these priorities multiple times. So as you're looking through our LCAP, you will see that. As a reminder of our district focus areas and the direction, our LCAP does match up with this, and so we use these district directions as our goals for our LCAP, so as a reminder of that. The first one is about academic achievement for all students. Our second one about college and career readiness and 21st century skills. Our third one about communication and collaboration. Our fourth direction about fiscal responsibility and facilities. Our fifth direction about student and staff safety and wellness. And then our sixth about leadership. So these are addressed fully in their pieces in our LCAP. Oops, missed a slide somewhere. Oh, I missed a page, sorry. The process and input for our process and input for our LCAP included many opportunities for the public to hear about about the LCAP and what we were doing, and then also have an opportunity to give us input to it. And so we had 2 study sessions, so 2 updates with you all where we reviewed where we had been going with the LCAP and what actions we have done. We had community meetings at both Roland High School and Nogales High School, so our community had an opportunity to come and talk to us. They were well represented, much better represented than they had been in our past times. We had 10 student focus groups, so as Dr. Mitchell likes to share, a whole lot of pizza going on. We did include, and this is a little bit different this year, we realized as we were working through our student groups that northwest side of the district, our elementary students were not represented because the K-8 schools are not over on that area, and so we included Hurley and Northam in that conversation as well. And it was interesting to have some of our younger learners give us their perspective on things. We had four employee meetings. We met with ARE and CSEA and our DLT or ARA. And then we also had an open employee meeting, so anybody who was an employee who wanted to come and share could do so. We met with our DLAC three different times. We had an opportunity to share about the LCAP and then get some information from them and then also share what the results were. As we did with the student superintendent's parent council, we met with them twice to do that same process. We also had our community survey. We had over 700 responses. And then tonight we will have a public hearing to hear what we have to say about that. And just a bit about the process. In the past, we used to call it the sticky note meetings because we collected lots of information on sticky notes. And this time we had an opportunity to have a conversation with each of these groups. And so we took copious notes and then we used a process called coding to bring that information together and find our most responses to that. And I will say that overwhelmingly the community in each of the groups that we met with the students, they were very complimentary about what we had been doing in the LCAP, and they've noticed the increase in services, the support that they're receiving, the changes and improvements in classrooms or support for parents or counseling. They've noticed all those things and they're very thankful for it, and they recognize the assistance that they get from it. Additionally, most of their input was just an increase in things. There was nothing that they really said we want more, you know, we want something completely different, or we had gone down, you know, someplace that they didn't want to go and told us to stop doing something. So that was not a reassuring because that we had felt like we had reached out to our community in the prior editions of the LCAP, and so to hear that we were doing a pretty good job was nice. So what this looks like in our LCAP, and there are 148 fascinating pages this year. I just want to point out that there are a few more pages. Our first goal about academic achievement, we want to make sure that all of our students have an opportunity for first best instruction, that we're engaging our students in our classrooms, that we are reaching out to them and supporting our teachers in those practices with professional development. And so this goal, the specifics of it have changed a little bit, but generally it's been the same goal about providing materials for our students, both the core materials and supplemental. Providing professional development, including expanding our coaching program. We heard many great comments about that. Something I can. I am. It's just. Are we about the same? Oops. Are we good? Okay. Did it catch up? That's the one. Yeah. I was wondering maybe the one behind me wasn't caught up or something. Okay. Sorry, and then the assessment and interventions, we've made improvements as we've gotten more used to the CASP testing. We've made improvements and realignments with that. Extended learning opportunities, as Dr. Mitchell shared about our summer schools and increasing those opportunities. Our student support with our increased counseling. And then another piece that you will notice this year in the LCAP is that more of the general fund is in the LCAP than has been previously in there. And so you will see a line item for basic services, and this includes, in this goal, it includes our instructional staff. Our second goal is about college and career pathways and 21st century skills. And again, working on our career pathways, we continue to receive the CTIG fund, so we're not expending supplemental and concentration for that work. But those funds are identified, and then that was a piece of getting those grant funds is that we had to identify it as part of our comprehensive plan, which the LCAP does do. Our 21st century learning, continuing our work with technology, as you heard from Sheldon tonight, some of that work. Our college and career ready, continuing to work with our counselors and our California College Guidance Initiative, the CCGI program, and then continuing our student support with our counselors. Our third goal is about communication and collaboration, so continuing our parent education. One of the things we heard loud and clear from our parents was that the opportunities that they've had, they very much appreciate, whether it was the Parent Involvement Academy or the Family Leadership Institutes or the opportunities at sites. What they wanted more was more parents to show up. that was what they asked for, was for us to find a way to communicate more clearly and really offer the opportunities to more parents and get more of them to come. They appreciated the increases in the communications, and many thanks to Gina and her work with our web pages and Twitter feeds and the callers and all of those ways to communicate. And then our DLEC especially appreciated that we had addressed some of their concerns as English language learner parents, and so continuing that work as well. In goal number 4, about fiscal responsibility and facilities, continuing with our routine maintenance, we heard many kudos about the improvements on our campus and both the cleanliness and the repair of them. Continuing to work on our technology infrastructure as we continue to add technology devices, so that will continue through this next year. As Dr. Huff has reported prior to you about our future ready plan, the increase in devices on a cycle will continue. Then in goal 5, we have our student staff safety and wellness. We will continue our work with our PBIS, our positive behavior intervention system, to support our attendance, behavior, and character development. Our cohort 3 has started this year, so all of our schools are somewhere in the PBIS cohorts and moving along. We'll continue counseling. Tonight, for example, you see a contract, and you'll see another one next month. Or next week. It's already next week, not next month. About increasing support for our counseling interns so we can increase counselor support for our students and outside of the school counseling. And then increasing staff safety training and our family resource center that provides services to our families. And goal number 6 in leadership, continuing our professional development for our leadership, so our academies for classified and certificated, continuing to recruit, hire, and retain, and promote our high-quality staff. Again, the line item about basic services, this is our non-instructional staff would be found here. Continuing our opportunity for collaboration, we heard from staff about the value of their late start and early out Mondays, as well as their time during either music or PE time, and the articulation days to be able to meet together and work together. That was very well received and appreciated. And then as tonight, you know, we've been able to celebrate quite a bit with our folks. Before I continue, I don't know where my slide went. I think I hit it on my presentation. But there is a change in the format of the LCAP. And if you haven't actually read the 148, I believe it is, fabulous pages, they are wonderful. But there are some changes with that, and I just want to share that with you really quickly. Except I can't find my paper slide. Give me one second. The first one is that there's a plan summary attached to it. So it ends up being about a 4 or 5 page summary where we talk about the district. So it's an overview of our district, but it also shows our review of progress. So where are the places that we've had great progress and increases or successes, but also those areas of needs and areas of gaps, and then how we're going to address them. So both in the needs and gaps section, we're required to, and gladly we'll share what we're doing to work on those pieces as a summary. It also recognizes that we, as part of the requirement of supplemental concentration funds, that we are to increase services and supports for students. And so calling those out very specifically is one of those sections of that summary. And then also a budget summary. The other change that occurred is that it's now a 3-year inclusive plan. So it has been a 3-year rolling plan. So every year we are writing a new 3-year plan. This is the start of a 3-year inclusive plan. And so the next 2 years will be a rewrite or revision as opposed to a fresh write. And so we will come to you with just 2 years and then 1 year and then write a new plan again. At least that's the expectation. The other piece is that there are very specific ties to the evaluation metrics. And Dr. Huff has shared those with you with the new state indicators, so the dashboards with the colors. We are required to report on each one of those in our LCAP and address those areas. So even if we're being successful, what are we doing to continue that success? Or if we have an area of need, how are we going to address that with students? And so you'll see that in the metrics throughout the plan. Some of them are identified more than once. For example, some of our academic indicators are identified in more than one goal. Some of them are just shared once. There's also an opportunity for us to continue with our local metrics, so things that we have found valuable as a district. So for example, one of the things we've heard very often from our communities, they value our extracurricular activities and the support that we provide with that. And so that is a metric for us to count, how many kids participate. And so we will continue that metric. The other piece is just they tried to make the plan more readable in the sense of it used to be you would read goal 1 and you read year 1, year 2, year 3 actions and try to do a comparison to say how does that flow from 1 year to the next. And now it lines up where it's the action and it's goal, it's year 1, year 2, year 3. So it's a much more readable plan than it used to be, I believe. And then
It is much. It also, you know, actually realigns the order in which things are. So I think you have to show your what you did for this year before you show what you're going to do in the next 3 years, as opposed to the reverse. And so I think they made the plan a bit more readable for our families and our community. So what happens now is we have this report tonight with you to share what our plan looks like and the all fabulous 148 pages, which I do encourage you to read. We've worked very hard on the thoughtfulness of that, and appreciate my staff, even though they're not all here to hear about this, but. The staff and the input that we received from our community, I think it was very helpful, and I appreciate them. We will have a public hearing tonight as required, so we will gather some public input from that. If there's any feedback from that or any questions, we are required to post those. And then next week, we will have a board review of any of those changes that may have occurred and then approval. And then after that, it does go to the county for approval, and we don't expect that approval from the county back until August. But it does go to them on a timely manner. And so... that's our LCAP.
Any questions from the board?
Yeah, I have a couple. So the district focus and goals mm-hmm. are static. Those stay the same.
Yes.
But the dashboard is more dynamic as it gets data each year. So can the plans within these district goals change to meet the dashboard?
Yes, that's expected that we do so. Okay. So the dashboard actually stays the same as well. The expectation of where we need to get to, for example, right. with our test scores is a static goal. So we know we need to continue to work towards, you know, the blue uh-huh. top corner. And so that stays as a static measure. We don't expect that the measure okay. will change. Whereas before with like the API, you know, depending upon how many other schools right. were doing it, the numbers changed. So we expect that that's a static goal, but we would continue to keep working towards that. And so, if, for example, if we were to not meet a goal this year, an expectation, we would expect in part of the revision process to say, what are we going to do differently to try to reach that goal for the next year?
Okay. And then under goal 5, for the funding amount,
mm-hmm.
it says, and existing grant funding.
Yes.
So for the Family Resource Center, their grants that they might apply for and get awarded mm-hmm. would be in addition to that money?
Yeah, so this is the district funding, whether it right. is LCFF funding or categorical funding. Additionally, we have some other dollars that come in like MA and Medi-Cal and some right. of those funds that they're not accounted for in here. That's some of that grant funding that comes in. And they are working off of a few grants at this point. And I believe they've been applying for a few other grants as well. They're in process of, you know, we haven't heard back from.
Okay, thank you.
How you related the estimated expenses to the LCF, all of these are the should be.
If you add it up, you get very close to the actual number. Not every dollar is attached to it. So, like our transportation funds are not in the LCAP, and some of those very specific non-instructional items. But the actual LCAP, we had to account for every dollar so it matches up with the budget. So we had to identify those non-instructional places as well as a portion of the budget summary page, but we didn't have to put an action in the LCAP.
Mrs. Pride?
Just a couple of things. On process and input, I do also want to again commend the community meetings. Much better job this year than in previous years, and as you indicated, I've also heard lots and lots of positive feedback about the table talk type style of the meeting versus what we did before. So just again wanted to commend you for that. On goal 1, where we talk about academic achievement for all students, one of the things I wanted to bring up again is that though we are pleased about the increase in summer school, that's definitely beneficial to our students, I still would like to see us looking at how we can help students who are struggling in specific subject matters during the school year with after-school assistance, possibly, especially for those at non-Title I schools that don't get extra funding for those things. And I'm going to keep bringing that one up because that's a huge need.
Yes, and that is in the plan this year. There's not a lot of funding attached to it, but it is in the plan to begin that work.
Okay. And then on goal 3 for parent education, again, one of the things that I'm hearing from parents is that they also want to learn how to better support their child's education by being able to effectively assist them with their homework. Mm-hmm. And if they can't understand it, how can they help their kids to understand it? I know if I had a kid in school right now doing some of the Common Core math problems I've seen, I would need parent education on that.
Yes.
So if we can just possibly keep that in mind as we're moving forward and determining what type of parent education programs to offer.
And if I can add to that, the other thing we heard in addition was the parents who are not English speakers or English literate, some of that work in Common Core does become more difficult for them to support as well.
For those who speak English.
Well, yes, but also especially even more so from our English learner parents, yes.
And then, and then for goal one, for academic achievement for all students, that would include the special needs students?
Yes.
And their graduation rate?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that is identified as one of our performance gaps at the beginning of the plan.
Ms. Healy, is there anything in the plan about maybe having a little later summer school than having it right after school? Then the kids don't lose that time off?
The plan's not that specific to say when we offer summer school. It just has the effect that we will, and we are looking at that opportunity to stretch it out or move it around to create less of a gap. Yes.
Okay. And then the other question, which you may not have at your fingertips, you can let me know. Do you know what page the plan summary starts so that I can find it in that 146 pages?
It is actually right at the beginning.
It's
there's
at the
a
beginning.
Cover page, and then I believe there's one or two pages of sort of directions, and then it's the very next thing.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Any other questions, Board? Thank you, Ms. Healy.
You're welcome.
Next, we have Mr. Flores from Admin Services. He's the Assistant Superintendent who will give us a report on the 2017-18 budget.
Board President Ebenkamp, board members, Dr. Mitchell, cabinet and audience, thank you for allowing me to make a presentation on 2017-18 budget. Before I begin, I would like to thank Aubrey Craig, the Director of Fiscal, who has worked with the staff preparing the budget. Along with working for this budget, he's also implementing the SMARTE tool, which has been a large undertaking, so a lot of credit and a lot of thanks go to Mr. Craig for his efforts. But we're only as good as the people that support us. And I also would like to take the time to thank Corey Duran, who was also by Aubrey's side all along through this process. In this presentation, I hope to highlight the budget calendar, local control funding formula, the 2017-18 revenue and expenditures, and the multi-year projections. The budget is a living document, and the budget cycle is a process that is constantly in motion. As you can see, we're here sharing the budget and the LCAP for the next fiscal year. The next step will be to approve the budget at our next board meeting. The budget cycle has two fiscal years that are always crossing over. The audit process has begun for the 2016-17 year, which will be finalized this fall after the unaudited actuals have been presented and approved by the board. In 2013, the governor established a new distribution system for K-12 public school funding. The new distribution system is called the Local Control Funding Formula, LCFF. The change came after 40 years of using the revenue limit calculation, where student populations were not taken into consideration. LCFF was designed to target funds to students impacted with lower socioeconomic status, English learners, and foster youth. Under LCFF, all students generate a base grant. Those students who are impacted receive a supplement grant, which is equal to 20% of the base grant. In addition, districts like Roland, who have large student populations of targeted students, defined by the state as a district with an unduplicated percentage above 55%, receive a concentration grant, which is equal to 50% of the base grant. RUSD has an unduplicated count percent of 72.9 for the 17-18 school year. In this table, please note the blue lines that represent the original LCFF implementation schedule when first implemented. If you look at the green, that is the actual implementation. We will be 97% funded towards a target in 17-18. This leaves only 3% from being fully funded with 3 years to reach the goal. It is very important to note that we are ahead of schedule with funding. In this portion of the presentation, I will share the 2017-18 proposed budget by revenue, expenditures, unrestricted, and restricted funds. Unrestricted revenue for 17-18 is projected to be a little over $133.9 million. $130.3 million from LCFF, $2.7 million from other state funds, and $900,000 from local revenue. No one-time funds are included in this revenue. Unrestricted general funds expenditures are projected to be a touch over $133.4 million, with a little over $104.3 million related to employee salaries and benefits. I also would like you to please note that 13% or $16.3 million support our restricted programs from the general funds. We project expenditures will be below our revenue with an ending balance growth of $497,306 for this year, leaving a total ending balance of $38,230,613. A majority of our ending balance has been assigned into different areas. I would like to highlight two: emergency, disaster, and safety. Next year, we'll be updating and installing new state-of-the-art video cameras that can be monitored. After conducting a successful pilot this year at one of our middle schools and at the district yard, we are ready to proceed to the procurement process. This expenditure has not been included in the 2017-18 budget, but will be coming from our ending balance if needed. Declining enrollment. We still continue to have declining enrollment, and with the uncertainty of legislation related to student transfers, this assignment will help for a soft landing if needed. Restricted funds are received for specific use and must be spent in that manner to be compliant with applicable rules and regulations. We project $46.2 million in 17-18. Again, I would like to highlight that $16.3 million will come from our unrestricted general funds as part of this revenue. Expenditures are projected to be $50.5 million, with the bulk of these funds, $36.7 million for salaries and benefits. We are projecting to deficit spend in our restricted general fund by $4.2 million in 17-18. As shared at the second interim, the deficit spending is for the textbooks that were adopted this year. Along with the 17-18 budget, we also submit multi-year projection budgets for approval on June 13th. Here are the major assumptions used to develop the budget and the multi-year projections for the district. As you can see, decline enrollment has been factored into revenue calculations. To help offset decline enrollment, since we are funded off attendance, we are trying to find ways to support and improve attendance at our school sites. Next year, each principal has been provided a budget to create attendance incentives for our students. Please also note that $0 have been factored in for one-time funds. The governor proposed one-time funds, but this revenue will be confirmed in May of 2018 and deferred to 2019. Having attended the governor's May revise with both associations, we immediately had a transparent discussion that it would be best not to include these funds in our budget. We would not want to overstate our revenue. We'd like to also take the time to thank the board and the superintendent for allowing us to go to these governor workshops and providing the leadership of us having transparent conversations, because it was a great conversation and it was immediate and it was in the best interest for our district to say, let's not put a revenue in there that may not materialize, because it could be confusing for people. So thank you for allowing us to do that. Also included in the multi-year projections are future district contributions for STIRS and PERS. Using 13-14 as the baseline year, By 2021, the percent required to be paid by the district will increase to 10.85%. For 18-19, the STIRS amount is 14.43%, an increase close to 2% from the previous year. This will cost the district an additional $1.1 million than in the previous year for STIRS contributions. For PERS, the rate increase for 13-14 to 2021 will be 12.38%, or a compounded increase of close to $2.7 million by the 2021. By the year 2021, combined for STIRS and PERS, our district will pay an additional $34.6 million. The STIRS and PERS increase has been identified by many as a deferred compensation increase. The percent increase is deferred into STIRS and PERS accounts as a mandated statute, but unfortunately our employees don't see that in a raise in their check. Our multi-year unrestricted projections will reflect a balanced budget for the next 3 years with a slight increase in the ending balance. The multi-year restricted funds are projected to decrease each of the next 3 years. The largest decrease in 17-18 for the new textbooks that were adopted this year. If we adopt any future textbooks, this will impact future years' restricted ending balances. Got a quick finger. Okay. This is the unrestricted multi-year projections, showing that we will slightly increase every year, although by 1920 the increase is less. And this is a multi-year projection that shows that we will be decreasing, with a large bulk of it being the textbooks of $4.2 million in 17-18. And if we do have any future textbook adoptions, this ending balance will decrease also. Now I can thank you. And I'm really proud to share that this presentation tonight, because it reflects and addresses the needs of our district, supporting our students and Valley team members in a responsible way with a balanced, unrestricted budget for the next 3 years.
Thank you. Board, Donna?
I have three things. On page 10, when you mentioned the emergency disaster safety for $6 million, I think it's great that you're going to put video cameras at all the school safety for not only our students but our employees. And then on page 15, where it says they're one-time discretionary funds, $0, I would like the board to know that at the CALSSD meeting in Sacramento, we worked with our lobbyist asking the Assembly and Senate that the one-time funds be restored in this fiscal year. Jeff, our lobbyist, drafted a letter to our state leaders. Hopefully it will help. Alex, what impact for our district would this mean if we were able to get the one-time discretionary funds again?
That's a great question, because it's actually in two different ways of looking at it. Originally, in the governor's budget in January, he included $48 per ADA, which is equals to $647,000 for our students, for our district. But in the May revise, we are very happy to say that they increased that one-time funds to $170, which is close to $2.2 million for our district. But the way that it's going to be given is, this is what we plan to give you. In May of 2018, we'll see if we have the funds, see if it materialized. And then if it did, in 2019, we'll provide you the funds. We're going to defer to 2019. One of the things that was a concern is that from January to May, the $48 that were provided in the governor's proposed budget got lumped into the $170. So that took off the table $647,000 for our district. So, we're very fortunate. We have different people looking out for our district and for all the districts in California, because there's a lot of concern regarding this. And hopefully that when they actually sign the budget, that this will be addressed. And any changes, because there will be changes when the budget is signed, we will go ahead and bring that back to the district, to the board, as a revised budget and just show that.
And lastly, on page 18, the multi-year projections. Just a great balanced budget. Thank you for all your hard work, Aubrey, and your team for the budget presentation. Thank you.
It's a team effort.
Right.
Ms. Pride?
I have a question on slide 7. For under federal revenues, you list zero. Where are we at with that? We're looking at federal money. I was watching an education hearing today, a very disturbing education hearing with Betsy DeVos, and some of the things that were being said about the proposed budget on the federal level were very concerning to me as a board member and as an educator myself. So what do you see? Anything positive coming our way from the federal level?
The positive is that there's resistance by some of the different people in Congress, but it's a little scary. We've actually projected a 10% reduction in our restricted side for our school sites so that when they plan their budgets to reduce it by 10%. Most of the federal money most comes in the restricted side. Originally, it seemed worse. They actually anticipated, the county gave us guidance of 10 to 21% reduction, and then that's been revised a little lower, so it's positive. But still, there's always a concern when military is greatly funded more than education. So that's maybe my opinion, so I apologize for that, but I'd rather see it in education, definitely.
Could I just ask, tack on to that. Wasn't there talk about the feds not wanting to be funding states? Some of the money would go to the states so the states could use their discretion, or no? I didn't listen to the hearing.
No, I didn't hear that either. But I know that there's a push to give more discretion to the states to be able to fund different things. I just wish they fully fund it, though. That's the key. It's easy to give money and then not give enough, then it's someone else's problem. So,
Mr. Chen?
Same type of concern from the politics. And we're going to get a new governor pretty soon. And LCFF is from Jerry Brown. Mm-hmm. And the new governor may make any changes. Do you see, or any the current candidates, is any, how much the possibilities that we have a big changes, or how are we going to react to this?
I can't really tell if there'll be great changes or large changes. There is some support for this model because it really is, it addresses the needs of the students. It's not just a one-size-fits-all. With that being said, there are some districts that do not get as much funds when it comes to LCF funding, so there's concern there. The greatest concern that we have and most districts have is the STRS and PERS liability that's here and it's present. Just to say that's the reason why I shared that $34 million more we will have spent on STRS and PERS between 2013 to 2020-21, that is money that could have been used for textbooks, for an enrichment program, different things like that. That's going to our STRS and PERS liability. I think that's going to be an issue for the new governor to address, because it impacts a lot of different people, not just schools, but also cities and police departments and anyone who in the public retirement system.
Mr. Malcolm?
On page 4, where you go into the base grants and then the supplemental grants and the concentration grants, I assume part of that will go into Goal 5, which is students and staff safety and wellness, where they talk about family resource center, counseling, character development, things like that, which is about $4 million. There's about $23 million that's being generated for low-income foster children. How do we know that money is going towards that intended purpose?
In the LCAP, there are specific actions that are placed, and in those actions has a dollar amount that's also being spent. And 23 $23 million is being spent in the budget for settlement and concentration to address those needs with those actions, to support those actions.
So in the LCAP?
The LCAP will have that.
44 pages.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. The other thing is on page 10. I just need clarification on declining enrollment again.
Yes.
You mentioned that we have declining enrollment. I understand they're figuring enrollment differently this year. Do we have declining enrollment, or don't we have declining enrollment?
Yes, we do have declining enrollment. If you look at page 15, actually with the assumptions will show you the decline in enrollment, but it's also based on average daily attendance.
Uh-huh.
So we have less kids. To help offset that, we're trying to really support and push better attendance. We have great attendance in our district at 96% because we need our students here to learn, too. So it's a win-win situation. So we're trying to support even better attendance. But we are declining around 200 to 300 students. From 17-18 to 18-19, we're looking at 214 students. And then around 170 students from 2018-19 to 19-20. So we are in declining enrollment.
I guess what I'm getting confused is what I asked when I looked at the chart that you filled out and it asked if we've had 2 years of declining enrollment, and it was answered no, and that's because of the charter schools that are included this year?
Yes, we included the charter schools. And in previous years, we had not included the charter schools. So we've actually made a revision for that. So we've updated it to not include the charter schools so that it'll show, because the criteria and standards are pulled from the SACS form. Uh-huh. They're actually pulled from. You cannot manipulate that. These are state forms. So to make it correct, we didn't include the 521 students of charter school students because that made it appear that we were increasing in enrollment when
right.
we were not.
Okay. Confusing sometimes. And the other thing is, I'm glad on the emergency disaster safety, those cameras and safety equipment will more than pay for themselves with the vandalism we've had at some schools this year and the theft at certain locations. So I'm really glad to see that.
Yeah, and I'd like to commend Chris Ferraro, who really worked this year looking for different camera systems, interviewing different companies, reviewing them, and actually piloting them. And we were very successful at the district yard. We were able to make an arrest on someone that violated our property. And we were able to do that because they were monitored. They called the local sheriff's department. They came immediately. They responded and were able to make an arrest.
Great.
I have a question about that in the same area, if I could. Will you be installing cameras at all the construction sites as well?
Well,
they're working?
Sometimes the construction sites themselves install their own, but we plan to install at all of our school properties. So it'd be the district, all of our school sites. Our yard already has them. That's one of the pilots and one of our middle schools were our pilots. And what we were strategically this year, we wanted to make sure we made the right investment because the investment will be around $500,000. So we wanted to make sure that we had the correct technology. And with technology, you know, it improves and it improves. So we wanted to make sure that what we purchased was going to have a nice long shelf life because it is an investment and something that can be monitored. I'm able to see the district yard from my cell phone. So that it can be monitored, so I could see. Matter of fact, I remember receiving a phone call that someone who was close to the yard, and I was able to take a look on it one early Saturday morning. So I don't really appreciate the wake-up calls, but it's okay, so I can see what's happening.
And I just have one other question on page 15. On the one-time discretionary funds, since they're deferring those out, will they... will those funds during that year, if we get them, be about this time of year, about May, just like, or would it be at the beginning of the year, or the?
So what the plan? What the plan is, on this time, the May revise of in 2018, they will confirm that the tax receipts that the states has the revenue to be able to pay these one-time funds. And if they do, then they will go ahead and give it to us in 2019. I really believe there's a lot of pushback from a lot of school districts, and there's a voice of concern regarding this. And I'm hoping that there'll be some sort of compromise or some sort of action taken when the budget is signed so that we can have it for this year. And again, any changes will be reflected in the first interim or even before that, because we have 45 days also to provide an update on the budget. And we will be definitely working with our partners in the association and letting them know throughout this whole process if there's any additional funds, because it's a transparent process.
And then in the particular year when you're getting the money, might there be more than 1 year's discretionary funds?
There could be. And that's going to be a question that we have also for our auditors, because if they're saying it's for this year, but we want to book it in the year that we get it. Sometimes companies can get in trouble when they overstate revenue. And we don't want to be someone that's overstating revenue. We want to make sure for certain what we have. And I think there's a dilemma with these funds, and I think that's why it's going to be addressed with when the governor does sign the final budget for this year.
Because you don't enter it this year, but you enter it in the future, and then you get 2 years, then you're looks like you're getting more funds that year than...
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. We're going to move on to public comments. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended further or limited by a vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allotted for each subject discussed. Ordinarily, board members will not respond to presentations and no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a presentation. We have two comments. First is Roy Humphreys.
Okay, first of all, thanks to the administration and the board for all the fine work they do. But we have some issues with the continuing saga of the Bond Oversight Committee notes that the website has improved, but for the intervention
Mr.
of...
Mr. Humphreys, could you move away from the microphone a little bit? Your voice is kind of muffled.
Yeah,
or don't speak so loud.
Is that better? Is that better? Okay, you want me to start over?
No, keep going.
Okay, you're going to add some seconds on there because you cut into my time. Okay. I'll start over. The continuing saga of the Bond Oversight Committee notes that website improvements, but for the intervention of committee chairman, Renaissance man Harry Peterson and Roy Humphreys, where would we be? The lack of codification of the committee member selection process procedures, which processes the applications to final determination in a maximum of 60 days, is a terminal failing and obstruction on its face. The renewal of Mike Wong as a committee member is another example of the board's failing its duty with the responsibility under the law. Mr. Wong's attendance record and do-nothing status requires immediate removal for cause. The board failed its duty as to the community by not using the vetting tool of asking the candidate, are you willing and do you have the time to devote to the mission of the Bond Oversight Committee? Of course, we know that there's the history of the Bond Oversight Committee as just being a rubber stamp, as per one-time member and associate of board president Ted Ebbingham. The issue of the 2006 audit as presented in the May meeting was pathetic at best, quibbling over $25,000 in light of the shameful abuse of the Macy's parade pillaging of a sum in excess of $25,000 is appalling. It is a must-see TV event on my YouTube site. Yes, a forensic audit is in order, given the loss of trust, as noted by Mr. Flores in the last meeting, public meeting, and the crying woman at that one. By viewing the video, you will also note that Mr. Flores telling the chairman and members of the independent committee that he wanted the annual report by the next board meeting. This is reminiscent of straight-up bullying and usurping of the powers of the independent committee. There are matters using deferred maintenance funds for buying books, but that's another issue. But comes to forward to if the board had taken on the video recording as championed by board member David Malcolm and posting these things that I had already agreed multiple times just to never be seen or heard of again. It's a missed opportunity, and you just continue your deceitful ways unabated. Thank you.
I think there was a compliment at the beginning of that. Okay, our next comment, Sharon Carrillo.
Good evening, everyone. As everybody knows, I always prepare a speech. Tonight I did not. I'm just ad-libbing, so I hope this goes okay. I have with me Belinda Anaya. She's our secretary and treasurer of our executive board, and Mary Cassie, and she is our first vice president. I just wanted to say that earlier for the Golden Apple Volunteer Recognition Ceremony, that was awesome. And what I said was that Roland just keeps doing more great things. And so I'm so happy to work here. And also, one of those great things was your participation in the ACE program on May 24th. We missed Alex and Dennis, so I'm sorry you weren't able to be there. The program exceeded what I even thought it was going to be. I was so happy. It was a lot of work, don't get me wrong, but it was a collaboration effort of Dr. Mitchell, Belinda, Gina, Brandy, and Hegna. Everybody put a lot of work into it, and I think it showed in the event. I thought it was awesome. So what I have here on behalf of Roland Chapter 133, we have a plaque we'd like to present to the board. And also what I want to say is that this will be our Focus magazine, which is our magazine for CSCA that's published every other month. This will be in there, and it goes out to over 230,000 of our members. So what that means to us is that not only does our chapter get recognition, so does Roland Unified. And we're very happy for that. So Roland Unified will be known all over the whole state of California. So you know that at conference in August, you know we're going to brag about it. I already have been. I've been using it as an excuse. I was late getting some information to our regional rep, and I told him, hey, we were busy being an ACE chapter. So on behalf of Roland Chapter 133, its executive board, and all of its members, I have a plaque here in recognition of Roland Unified School District for participation in CSEA's Appreciating Classified Employees Program, May 2017. Many thanks from CSEA, Roland Chapter 133. Thank you.
Next, we have two public hearings. The first one is a public hearing on the Local Control and Accountability Plan, the LCAP. A public hearing will be held pursuant to California Education Code 52062 regarding the LCAP to solicit the recommendations and comments of members of the public regarding the specific actions and expenditures proposed to be included in the LCAP or annual update to the LCAP. Public hearing is opened at 8:40 p.m. Are there any comments? Seeing none, I'll close them at 8:41. The next public hearing is being held pursuant to California Government Code Section 52062 to receive public input regarding the proposed 2017-18 Roland Unified School District fiscal year budget. I open the public hearing at 8:41. And anybody wishing to speak can step forward.
So since I didn't pull my blue card out, this was my opportunity to speak. I just want to thank Alex and Dennis for, again, the governor's workshop. I want to thank the board for allowing that to happen. Not every district does that. And more are starting to, but in order to send both associations with the management team together, it makes bargaining go a lot smoother. So we appreciate that, and we hope that can continue. So thank you.
You're welcome. Are there any other comments? Okay, I will close the public hearing at 8:42. Next, we have course adoption, ROP, Applied Engineering. May I have a motion to adopt the course ROP Applied Engineering for RUSD students on grades 9 through 12?
I make a motion.
Oh, wait, I don't think I told. But just the course, right? Okay. Sorry.
I make a motion.
Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Sorry, there are two. This one is for the text. Mm-hmm. Course material and instructional material adoption for ROP surgical technicians. Can I have a motion to adopt?
Second.
Discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next is to adopt the course AP Environmental Science and the textbook Living in the Environment, 18th edition, ISBN number 978128519-7289. May I have a motion?
I move.
Second?
I'll second.
You got a chance. Discussion?
I'd like to make one statement on this. I really think this is a timely course, and I'm glad to see it on the agenda. I'm glad to see what we're going to be approved. Hopefully, we'll be approving it. Since I gather from some shows that I watch, there might be some concern whether there is such a thing as global warming or global environmental effects. And I think that because of that, we can use the education.
I also have a comment. And I want to say this in a non-political way, but I think it's very important for our students as they go through high school and get ready for college and grow into functional adults that they understand that every issue has two sides. And in the textbook, if it doesn't give both sides of an issue, then it's up to the teacher to make sure the students either research the other side so they do understand it. They don't have to take a side, but students need to know there are two sides of almost every issue. Any other comments? I need a motion. Oh, sorry, we have the motion. We're ready to vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next we have, this is a second reading, and we're going to approve the revised board policy 5145.3. Could I please have a motion to approve the revised board policy 5143.3, and it's non-discriminatory harassment.
I make a motion.
I'll second.
Discussion? I think it's good with the change you inserted last time, Mr. Malkin. It looks pretty complete. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next, second reading and approval of the new board policy 5141.52, suicide prevention. May I have a motion to approve? Sorry. Second?
A second.
Mr. Chen, any discussion? Actually, Mr. Malkin, it was the last one you inserted. It's this one you inserted and not the last one. I'm sorry. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carried. Next is pupil personnel. RUSD student 16-1712, stipulated expulsion. I need a motion to approve the suspended stipulated expulsion of student number 16-1712.
I'll move. What? Second.
Did I misread?
No. I apologize, board, but in looking at this motion and hearing Ms. Ebbenkamp read this motion, there is an error. It is a stipulated expulsion, so I apologize. To approve the stipulated expulsion, the word suspended should be struck from this.
Okay, I need a motion to approve the stipulated expulsion of student number 16-1712, effective June 7th, 2017, with replacement in the home instruction program within the Roland Unified School District. Parents have waived the due process of procedures as approved by the board. May I have a motion?
I'll move.
Second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you for catching that, Dr. Mitchell. Next, we move to the consent calendar. And remember, we vote for all these in one block. However, the board has asked to pull three items. Number 9B16, 9B17, and 9B18 have been pulled. May I have a motion to approve the other items minus these? Second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move on to the three items that were pulled, and we'll handle each one of them separately. The first one is item 9B16, a contract agreement between Wynn Education and the Roland Unified School District, Telesis Academy, Physical Science. I need a motion to ratify the contract as stated. For services provided between October 19th of 2016 and February 17th of 2017. I have a second.
I'll second.
Discussion?
I requested that three items be pulled, all for the same reason. As I stated at, I think, the last board meeting, working in education, you work on a lot of projects with a lot of people, lots of contract work, and I must recuse myself from working, voting on anything related to Wynn Education.
Actually, I just have one question. Dr. Mitchell, we're voting for this past the event. It's from the period October 19th?
That's correct. It's a ratification.
Okay. Okay. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Any recuse?
Aye.
Okay. One recuse. The next item is 9B17. May I have a motion to ratify the contract agreement between Wynn Education and the Roland Unified School District for services provided between October 27th and December 15th, 2016? Need a second?
Second.
Discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Recuse?
Aye.
Got it right this time, I think, finally. Okay, 9B18 contract, I need a motion to ratify the contract agreement between Wynn Education and the Roland Unified School District Oswald Academy for services provided between May 15th and May 26th of 2017. Second?
Second.
Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Recuse?
Aye.
One recuse. Okay, motion carried. Next is the conference section. We're going to move on to a notice of upcoming public hearing on June 13th of 2017. The Governing Board of the Roland Unified School District will hold a public hearing on a CDE waiver of California Education Code 35330 to allow students to travel out of state. The public hearing will be held at 1830 South Nogales Street in Roland Heights on June 13th, 2017 at 7 p.m. And the proposed waiver will be on file and available for public inspection should the members of the public wish to review it prior to the public hearing at this location. On June 2nd, 2017 to June 13, 2017, during the hours of 9 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. I do not need a motion for that. Next, board members' comments. I believe it's first tonight for Ms. Friedman. Mm-hmm.
All right, good evening, everyone. Left here. I enjoyed the awards, the Golden Apple Awards, and seeing all the students getting the awards, and Shellen. Joseph was amazing. I will continue to speak about where I have been in the last month at the district activities, but will change a little. Instead of mentioning the millions of wonderful things I saw at the schools visiting them, you can look at my Twitter page, Donna F for kids. This will let you know all the terrific things that are going on in our district. Therefore, I will mention just a handful of things that I observed while visiting classrooms. One was a bulletin board that said Genius at Work, and it was the Apex Credit Recovery at Santana. At Yorbita, they were calling instructional rounds instead of saying groups. And Kiara and Vicky created a sign holder at Telesis. The custodian needed help and gave them an opportunity to try to figure out something. And I hope they patent this and become rich. It goes on top of the cones to be able to put a sign on it, and it stays there very good, and they're geniuses even at a young age. There was a bulletin board that's When I Grow Up bulletin board, Bumps and Dips in the Road of Life bulletin board at Hollingsworth. Students made a graph of life experiences like Disneyland, my sister was born, a broken ankle, and you saw a graph. It was amazing. I was honored to receive a special beautiful turtle from... One sec. My turtle turned upside down. Okay, here's this turtle that I wanted to show you. And then it was from Rue Chi from Killian. I brought it tonight to show you what it looks like. Mr. Pryor's fifth grade students represent the University of Maryland. They are turtles. And turtle stands for values. T for tolerance, U for understanding, R for respect, T for trust, L for leadership, E for ethics. As I read each flap representing these values, I found myself wanting to read more. It was outstanding. Like, you open it up and her writing was excellent. And it's just really beautiful. Okay, so I just wanted to share the good work that they're doing. I attended open houses, and the RUSD 2017 Employee of the Year recognition dinner was so wonderful to show recognition to all of our employees of the year at each site and departments at Roland. Alvarado celebration for being a gold ribbon school career certification program was outstanding. It's hard to be a judge, but there were great presentations of their portfolio at Roland High School. And Ben Gio, who's only 16 years old, will graduate from Roland High School this year, and he did many projects, not just one. I was very impressed with him. At Ibarra, they had a musical play rehearsal. Nogales High School Senior Honors Night was very nice. Many scholarships and awards were given, and there were four future Marines. The Classified Appreciation Luncheon was wonderful. It was celebrating all the classified staff. Alex and Dennis did a great job on the barbecue, great hamburgers. CSEA gave out donated gift cards to members. Nogales High School Choir did a luau, and it was outstanding. Students performed songs and dances. They are very talented. The AVID welcome back at Roland High School, welcome at Roland High School was amazing. They had a big turnout explaining all about the program. Roland High School AVID students gave a tour for the eighth graders around the campus while the parents learned about the program. Eileen's retirement party and Teacher's Day celebration hosted by ARE was a big turnout. Spring concert at Nogales High School, Sylvia Cardenas' retirement party at Yorbita, and Classified ACE program. I shadowed Lynn, office assistant at Yorbita. I learned a lot. She is a nurse, detective, everything. Amazing all that she does. She always greeted the students and adults with a smile. I didn't want to leave. Sylvia gave me a polo shirt and said I was honorary cheetah. It was a great experience. I also shadowed in the Ed Services Department. I worked with four ladies. I got a tour of the entire department, which I enjoyed. Then I had three different assignments to work on. The last one I ran out of time and wanted to finish but couldn't. They sure have a lot to do. The luncheon to culminate the activity was great. All the hard work that Sharon and team did paid off in a very successful way by everyone involved. It was a great experience and enjoyed it immensely. Adult school graduation on May 31st was great. And lastly, Santana High School graduation. As one student came in walking, one father yelled, "That's my boy!" The students were given a yellow rose during the ceremony, and each student gave the rose to someone that influenced their life the most. It was very touching to watch family and teachers receive the roses. Four students gave speeches. I was proud of every single student for overcoming obstacles to achieve their diploma. Thank you.
Next, Mr. Chin.
We honor the volunteer this evening with the Golden Apple. I think the value of honor of these individuals are they set a good example for the kids. So tonight we're here, and I'd like to see if we can honor them in front of the kids. So an example, the kids will see my parents or my friend's parents are going to honor because they devoted so much time to our school, and I want to pass this spirit to the kids, and when they grow up, they will volunteer into the community. So we appreciate all the volunteers what they have done to the community. Yeah, and thank you for the hard work for the presentation of the LCAP and the staff of Alex's group, the presentation of the with the budget. And also, I attend the, again, once a year, I attend the Nogales High School graduation, and every year we see the proud parents, so proud and so happy to see their child graduate from high school, and either they step to work, or they go to college, and they all have full confidence, and the graduates, when they step up on the stage, I can see their eyes. They have full confidence. That's their achievement, and to go one step further to the higher education or go to work. So I congratulate them, and also I thank all the teachers who make them the achievement, and the support from the parents. That's all very important. And happy summer. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chen. Ms. Pride?
Well, I have been super busy at work lately and missed a lot of events, big events then I apologize for. One was the classified appreciation or the employee appreciation dinner. I'm sorry that I missed that event this year, but I heard that it was fantastic. And congratulations to all who were honored. But I have been able to get out to several other events. I just want to highlight a couple of them really quick. One of them was every 15 minutes this year. It was Nogales' turn. I love that event. I think that is one of the most powerful, impactful events that we do in our district. And, again, I appreciate Chief Fernal and all of those who worked so hard to make it happen and the staff at Nogales who worked on it this year. The other one I would like to highlight was one that Sharon mentioned, which was the job shadowing for the classified employees. That was just fantastic. And I was paired with Julio from the Family Resource Center, and have an entirely new respect for the work that he does. It was just incredible, and I learned so much that day shadowing him, and then to hear about the other experiences at the luncheon was just really great. So thank you for everybody who helped to organize that. That was a fantastic event, and I look forward to doing it again next year. I think I already know who I want to shadow next year. and then finally, this was my year at Roland High School's graduation. Oh, the adult at graduation, attended that, and that one's always neat to see people who have, you know, gone the non-traditional route to get their diploma or GED, and to see them still have the opportunity to walk across the stage in their cap and gown is so important. And I think that a lot of times people don't realize what that means to them and to their families, and especially when they have children in the audience who get to see them do that. It really does mean a lot. And then finally, the Roland High School graduation. This was my year at Roland High School. And I have to say, I've been very fortunate for every year that I've been on the board so far and have participated in the graduation. I've always been on the side where I was able to give the diplomas to the special education students. And that is just an amazing feeling to be able to hand them their diplomas and, you know, acknowledge their achievements, you know, at their level, and it was fantastic. I have had the opportunity to do that again this year, and I just always feel fortunate when I'm able to do that. So I've been lucky every year I've been able to do that. I hope my luck continues. And then finally with that graduation, the other part is just having been a part of that school for so many years with my kids and still having other kids there that are mine, it's always nice to be able to give diplomas to kids that I've watched grow up or that have hung out at my house. And so I got to give a couple of those kids their diplomas this year as well, and just a few more left there, and then I'm done. So it was a neat event, and I was going to finish, but I have to mention the luau that Nogales did. That was a really neat idea and a great event, and the weather was perfect. The food was delicious. The music was incredible. The dancing was fantastic. So I'm looking forward to the luau there next year as well. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Pride. Mr. Malkin?
I want to say ditto to what Donna said. And I want to say that I was on the board. And I want to say I was on the board when Joseph was at Shellen. So I want to take credit for that. So his success is my success. Now I'll read my statement. This past month, as a board member, I witnessed the ultimate outcome for a school district, the awarding of diplomas to students we are elected to serve. From the Roland High School senior who so eloquently told his peers that we now have the tools to pursue their own futures, to the Nogales valedictorian who was the first in her family to graduate from high school, to the graduate from Santana who was given a second chance who now wants to become an ultrasound technician, or the special needs individual who can now make change at the market. They all have their own success stories and futures to write, utilizing skills they mastered while at RUSD. I want to congratulate all the graduating seniors, whether they take the path to advanced degrees, master new trades, or just take a break to explore life. I also want to thank all the certificated employees who made our seniors' dreams come true, and our classified employees who were always there to make sure adequate resources were available and students arrived safely at school each day. Educating our children for the future takes a team, and I feel RUSD has the best team to make that happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Malcolm. This has been a busy year. And now that we're at its close, I'm really proud that we were able to end the year on a high note. I think my year was capped by the graduation at Nogales High School. It's the first one that I've attended at Nogales. And I want you to know those students were so respectful, so proud, so honored that they were getting their diplomas. You could see it in every one of their faces. Some of them had tears in their eyes, but it just meant so much. The valedictorian and the salutatorian were good. Our Laura Martinez, who came every week for every month for almost 2 years, was the salutatorian. I was fortunate to be able to give her diploma. And the ceremony was wonderful. They always end their ceremony. They have cages of white doves or pigeons or whatever they are. But after everything, they open the cages and these birds all fly out. And they circle the whole field usually twice. And then they go home. But it just is such a wonderful ending to a great ceremony. So my hat's off to Nogales. I also attended the graduation for the adult school, and it was good this year. I think it gets a little better each year. It was at the community center, and I think that's a nice location to have it. Those kids also are very proud. That cap and gown just changes them instantly. I thought that the CSEA ACE Awards, event, the chapter event, was just a great way to share with people who work with the district what jobs classified employees do. And I was pleased that every single board member attended, both the luncheon and the rounds. And I got to work in the office at Roland High School where the substitutes were assigned, but I was afraid to put my hand on much because I didn't want to mess up and have a class call and say they weren't getting a substitute. So I watched. Last of all, I want to say I'm really proud of this board because I think we've all bent over backwards to get to as many events and as schools on regular visits. And I've heard comments from people saying we've never seen the board get out to so many things. And it shows that we're interested. We're working hard on behalf of our students. And I'm sure we'll continue it next year. So I want to tell the board thank you. Everybody have a nice summer. And thank you very much for your support. We're going to go back to closed session to finish up one item. At 9:26, to report out our closed session work, the Board of Education moved to approve the promotion of Greg Perez to the position of principal effective July 1st, 2017 on a motion by Donna Friedman and a second by Angelina Pride. The vote of the board was as follows. Carrie Chen, yes. Lynn Ebenkamp, yes. Donna Friedman, yes. David Malkin, yes. And Angelina Pride, yes. Motion carried 5-0. May I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll move. Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Motion adjourned. I'm sorry, motion. Meeting adjourned at 9:28.